Let's look into the Fresh Films Project at Augustana College on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Kelly Fegley is here to tell us about Fresh Films at Augustana College, and Garrison Keillor will follow with the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. Kelly, you're here because neither Roald or I know anything about Fresh Films. And what is it?
Well, thanks for having me. Fresh Films, if you can visualize what a Hollywood film set might look like and then pull out all the professionals and put in teenagers in all those roles, that's what Fresh Films is. So
that might be an improvement.
So it is. We've been doing it for about 15 years, and it keeps us really young. But we have teens behind the camera and in every other position. They run the boom mic, the slate, which is the clapboard, run the mixer, and they're mentored by and taught by some of the pros, including my husband, Eslin Fegley, who directs, a director of photography, a sound engineer. But primarily, they're learning by doing. And then we're a production company, so we produce with the teens behind the camera feature films, television shows. This past summer we had teens behind the camera creating new potential TV pilots. Most of the things that we produce are released in a traditional way. So I have a copy.
What's a traditional way?
Thank you. So most of the things we produce, you'd be able to see them. So this is our newest movie. You can't see it. The radio audience can't see it, but it's called Alternate Universe, A Rescue Mission. And Steve Guttenberg, who is an 80s superstar and was in Cocoon and Short Circuit and every Police Academy movie and Three Men and a Baby, stars in it. This film did not release in theaters, but it's going to release on December 1st on iTunes, on Amazon, on DVD, on all the digital and on-demand platforms. Previous films we've done, including what's called The Stream, which had Mario Lopez and Rainn Wilson.
And you made that at Augustana?
This was actually not done at August. So Alternate Universe was produced in 2015 and was produced in the suburbs of Chicago. And then in 2016 is when we moved our operation here.
Why?
To the it's a good question. No, we had partnered with a couple colleges over time, one being Aurora University in Aurora, Illinois. And the president of the college at the time said, you know, this should really be a college program, a link to a college program. And we said, oh, that's sort of interesting, because we'd always worked with teenagers, had them work in our program, said, hey, once you graduate high school and go to your first year of college, come back and become an intern for us. So there was sort of this – there was no bridge between like high school and college. And we happened to still be in touch with Jeff Cousins, who runs the theater department here at Augustana. We asked him to look at this proposal that we were – because we were talking to colleges and – Chicago about, and he said, would you consider coming to Augustana? And we got to meet President Balls, who I think liked what we were doing enough to suggest that we move here, and we did. And we pulled all of our operations out of Chicago and landed, and we're now in Sorensen Hall. And we run the Fresh Films business from here. So the first time we were on campus in the Quad Cities was in 2016, and so we had teenagers from the Quad Cities and also in eight other cities like Chicago and Los Angeles. They all worked on an episode of a TV show called Detectives Club. And so that one's not out yet, but it will be, hopefully, on television in late 2018.
And how did you get a hold of the teenagers? I mean, how do they pay to come here and get trained?
No, they never pay, never have. And so they apply with an essay statement of why they want to be on the Fresh Films crew. And there's usually a second essay, and they tell us like what they feel they'll gain. And we, in a really probably unsophisticated manner, close down all of the fields in the Excel file and only read their essays. And that's really how we choose them. And for the most part, the crews are not kids with a lot of experience. They may have an interest, but we're not fielding an army of Spielbergs or Coppolas. We're looking for kids who are excited. And then they come in with some not any experience at all, some with varying levels of experience, and they work through they read the script. They do what we call a breakdown to understand what kind of props and costumes are needed. They then start working on the film set, you know, under the tutelage of the pros and learn all the positions. And it's really fun to watch. In particular, the really shy girl opens up within a couple days and is, you know, kind of taking command of the set. It's kind of a way I think kids kind of find who they are and realize what they're capable of.
Well, it's almost unbelievable.
Huh? Yeah.
there's got to be some magic in there somewhere.
Well, you know, when you said 15 years, I thought, how could something be at Augustana for 15 years?
Yeah, no, we spent 14 in Chicago.
And Tweet not know about it.
That's true.
Well, I read about your arrival at Augustana, so I'm familiar with what you do, but I'm still astounded at how you're able to do it. What possessed you, even in the first place 15 years ago, to start producing movies with teenagers?
Well, this is funny. So
we had
a production company, and like any fledgling small business, you know, people come to you and ask you if you do something for a small amount of dollars and you jump at it, right? Because you need the revenue. And so we had gotten approached by this organization that we didn't know what it was called After School Matters, which in Chicago was what Maggie Daly, Mayor Daly's wife, had created to get a lot of the inner city kids off the streets. And they called us at the 11th hour and said, we had an organization teaching film drop out. Will you come in and fill in the gaps? And it was a grant for $9,000. But $9,000 when you're first starting a company is a lot of money. And so we said, absolutely. And we had no idea what we were getting into. And we arrived at this school on the southwest side called Farragut High School, which is still to this day about half the student population is African-American students and half is Latino students. And so they have some issues from gangs and things like that, but just really, really good kids. And we got in there. And after one day of Esalen doing film the theory, film 101, the class, and the kids were all sort of falling asleep because this was after school. He woke up the next day and he's like, I got it. We're going to make the movies and they're the crew, they're apprentices. And so we sort of got into it by chance. But what happened was we go to the school, a lot of these kids, and at the time, Chicago Public Schools in particular, the bar was really low. So they just wanted kids to get out of school. They didn't care if they were secretaries at Fox Secretarial School. They didn't care if they became janitors. They didn't care. So these were a lot of kids who kind of were slipping through the cracks and they just wanted to keep them off the street after school. And what we found is they lit up. And they were awesome. And I think our secret sauce is just that we believed that they could do it. We believed that they could call a casting director or a talent agent in Chicago and have a conversation with them just as I could. And so we'd literally just hand them the phone. Or we'd say, you know, you're going to do a casting call or you're going to pick locations. And we just believed they could do it. And I think teens in general will rise to the occasion when given the opportunity.
Oh, I believe that. I discovered that when I was teaching theater. I can't think of a play I could schedule that they could not do.
Right.
Once they commit to it, boy, all the energy in the world, creativity, it's all there in these bright young minds. Just give them a chance to go, and they will.
And that was true in freshman English, too. I got so sick after about 5 or 6 years of doing the research paper, having to move the history of baseball, you know, or Egyptian burial customs, you know, using the typical 9 sources from the library. So I finally started making them do original research. And some of the stuff that freshmen did was published.
Yeah.
I mean, it is astounding. But your story is still absolutely amazing.
We're a little crazy. We probably do too much, but it's fun.
So who writes the scripts for these things?
So generally, the scripts are written by professional screenwriters who have been in the industry, although we have had some programs over time where young people have written scripts. And Esalen Fagley, who is a 93 grad and, you know, is my business partner and husband, he's more of the director and the film director and the creative. So he actually did a screenwriting group the past 2 years with Augustana students and helped the students kind of work through a screenplay process. And so one of the pilots, a 23-minute TV show that we produced this past summer was penned by 3 Augie students. But it took them probably 8 or 9 months to get there, right? Where a professional screenwriter could get there in 8 or 9 days, right? But it's so that's generally where we don't have the teenagers in general. It's a whole nother enormous process. And we've all been to the movies where the movie sucks. And that's generally a product of the screenplay.
How do you pay for all of this?
Do you have any money? No, I'm kidding. Actually, all of the funding we've ever gotten over time has come from advertisers or corporate sponsors. So my background before we started this, I sold advertising space for Meredith Publishing. So I went around to all the ad agencies and tried to get them to spend their dollars in my magazines. And the magazine I was working for closed, which sort of forced me into life working with my husband, which is kind of funny, and forming Fresh Films. So I just went back to – that's who I knew. So I went back to them and said, you know, created a little presentation about supporting this project called Fresh Films, where teens make movies and, you know, talk about it on – you know, there was no social media in 2002 when we launched this. There was no, you know – well, maybe MySpace was coming out. But and we would get – you know, at the NBC in Chicago would report on us or radio stations. And so the advertisers thought it was kind of cool. And so we got a sponsorship from a Wrigley brand called Winter Fresh at the time, and then Doritos. So some really big sponsors. And then we became a nonprofit a few years later so that we could get some funding from places like the AT&T Foundation. So that's primarily where we get all of our dollars. So sadly, yeah. Disney's not writing me a big check.
Yeah, that's true. But that shows great initiative and imagination. And my goodness, this is an amazing project. And you know, the world has turned. It used to be that writing and books were it. But now that we've moved into a visual age, television and movies and now social media, things are changing. Things are changing dramatically. And to find a way to let kids ride the coming crest of the new wave, that's real imagination.
Have you had kids that have gone through this program and then gone on to real success in the business?
By the way, I'm writing that down, Ride the Coming Crest, because I'm going to use that now.
I'm one of those old literary types.
Well, and I just, you know, it's funny, we talk about jobs and this industry is beautifully magical, right? It's so, you know, mystical and magical, and we're like, yeah, it's like Wizard of Oz. Pull the curtain back. Oz doesn't look so, you know, but there are a lot of jobs. And so we try to, you know, talk to students about when they're riding the crest, you know. But you asked about students. So this is funny. When we were out in Los Angeles this past summer, four of our alums came and visited the set. So we have some alums who are as old as 2005. So Derek Simon, who was in our New York program in 2005, he was a filmmaker, and then he interned for us a few years. He is a writer on Supergirl now, and so has a manager and an agent. And poor him, couldn't participate in our board meeting because he had to go to Vancouver because his episode of Supergirl was $1 million over budget. And I went, you know, my jaw dropped open. I'm like, that's my year's budget. And so, or maybe 2 years. But yeah, so he works for Supergirl. Really not. He's 27. Julio Palico, who started in our program when he was 16 from Fullerton, California, now is one of John Lasseter from Disney's. He has four producers that work with him, and Julio's one of them. And then we have kids who, you know, work at post-production houses or work in production for NBC, and some work in marketing. And we probably are a C+B at keeping in touch with the alums, but
Kelly,
we're trying to get better.
Let me tell you, I was in an Academy Award film. It was a student film that won the Academy Award. Was made by three young people who used to be in our theater group. Went to the University of Southern California, came back and made a film using some of their theater buddies, and that won a regional award. And their last year, they made The Yuppie, which I guess is still floating around on the internet, and that won the student award.
That's awesome.
Yes, and he said, you know, if you and a couple of people had been on Hollywood the big premiere night, you might have gotten an agent. But, you know, as an old literary type and a person who's bound to books very tightly, I worry about moving into a purely visual world, particularly one in which CGI plays a major role. And who knows what's real anymore?
That's interesting.
Yeah, I worry that we might be stepping away from reality. And yet, you can't you know, we're not Luddites. You can't quash these new modes of expression. Mm-hmm. You let them flower and try to make the best you can of them. So this is fascinating.
But I'm still having trouble believing it. I mean, I really want to believe you, Kelly.
So
this is just astounding.
Well, on the 11th of November, we'll be running a one-day camp. So in 7 hours, the teenagers will go from they'll do a short scene, like a minute and a half, and they will go from essentially script to screen in 7 hours. So you can come there and find. I mean, it is crazy. We do a lot. I always joke around that I feel like we make gourmet meals with two tomatoes and a sprig of lettuce, and people are like, "Wow!" And you know, but it's really fun, and I think because we can see the motivation of the teenagers and how much they light up and get excited, it makes it much easier.
That part I really do believe. Yeah. I really think if you reach a teenager with something, the results can be miraculous.
Yeah, it's there's nothing quite like it. The secret is to motivate a youngster, and ideally to motivate them in a way that leads them in a good direction. It's easy to motivate a kid to join a gang, to get into trouble, and so on. But motivate a youngster to do something positive, something that is both good for that kid and the world that he or she lives in. That's the trick. So you have a heavy responsibility, Kelly.
Do Augie students get credit for participating in this?
So now they do. So okay. We helped with additional faculty create the new entertainment media program that's going on at Augie. And so it's right now there's only one class. It's a music video production class that's sort of the gateway program. And so there's 17 Augie students taking that. And they're filming a music video for an actual band, which is pretty cool. So it kind of elevates the stakes a bit. And they have a client that they have to make sure is happy. They can't just run around and film whatever, you know, they think is cool. And so and then as interns, we have a lot of Augustana interns. We have 4 interns right now working, 2 in marketing, 1 in accounting, and 1 in business development. And they are all getting college credit for their internships, doing different facets.
When you see a movie, you see the people in the movie.
Right.
And you don't realize there's a ton of people behind the screen. Maybe 4 to 1. I don't know what the
I think it's larger. So if you go to a movie like, watch when it's almost Christmas season. So if you watch Christmas Story, have you guys ever seen Christmas Story?
Yeah.
So if you watch Christmas Story, just the end credits, it goes by so quickly. There's not that many people on a set. They were very lean in the 80s. And then watch a current movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, whatever, and the credits go on. And it's literally an enormous Fortune 500 business every time they make a movie, right?
But it is a universe of itself. It truly is. But a bit of that universe lights up here at Augustana.
Right here, right.
And it happened without our permission, Roll.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, I should have stayed teaching. I mean,
you could have been a star.
No, I couldn't have been a star.
You could have been our screenwriter. It's interesting you talk about like CGI, and we're not huge fans. Eslin comes from the acting. You know, he went here for theater and history, and he's into, you know, real people doing real things as opposed to animated figures doing things. So we actually don't do any animation, but I don't know. The Harry Potter books are almost as big as the Harry Potter movies, maybe arguably more, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure. I mean, most screenplays right now are being made by books, right? Because there's less risk in a really good book made into a movie.
Right.
So I don't think the death of the book is...
Well,
it's
Kelly,
close at hand.
No.
You have opened our eyes. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
It has been dazzling to hear about fresh films at Augustana College.
Can I do one plug? And that is, if you know a teenager that wants to be involved, they should go to our website.
Go to your website. Okay.
Fresh-films.com.
Fresh-films. Okay.
Okay.
I do know some.
Amazing. Kelly Fegley, who's managing director of Fresh Films at Augustana College. Now here's a guy who manages the Writer's Almanac, Garrison Keeler. Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center. working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. Gee, maybe we could be in the movies.
Well, why not?
Well, I'm not a
teenager anymore.
I'm not a teenager anymore. I've done my movie stint. I don't have to. But you belong in some kind of fantasy. I'll have to try writing a script for you. And let the kids make something of it. Well, before we run out of here, do you have anything in the bottom
of
the book?
Yes, I have a book about one of your favorite poets, Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Oh,
The Ballad
good.
Of the Harp Weaver. I've just read her biography by Nancy Milford, a book called Savage Beauty. And it explains a lot about why she was incredibly popular in her own age. And today, even with the feminist movement, she hasn't really been revived at all. I mean, she was a creature of her age, of the 20s and 30s. But what a creature she was. I mean, just an unbelievable story. At the age of 20, she entered a competition for some New York newspaper had a competition for the 100 best poets.
Uh-huh.
And she entered a poem called Renaissance.
Yeah.
Which just came out of nowhere, right? And it didn't win the first prize, but it did get published there. But it so impressed a wealthy woman in New York that she sent Edna St. Vincent Millay to Vassar College for nothing
yeah.
for 4 years. And that's how she got her start. At her height in the 1930s, she could come to Chicago and pack in 1,500 people with a waiting people in the ante room of 500 people.
Yeah.
How many poets today can pack in an audience of 1,500 people?
I know. She was incredibly popular. Arthur Davidson Ficke was just blown away.
Well, she spent some time in Davenport, right, with these guys. But Thomas Hardy, the English writer, said, America has two great things, the skyscraper and Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Yeah.
This biography explains why. And also the troubled, incredibly troubled, mixed-up life she had.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens, doesn't it?
Well, it happened to her.
Yeah. But I can't imagine anyone reading The Ballad of the Harp Weaver and not being deeply moved by it. And I can't imagine an age in which that would not be read. Because that's my own personal favorite. I just love that. But she revived the sonnet form. She did all sorts of
things. She wrote incredible sonnets.
Yeah. That was one of two biographies that came out at about the same time. I got them and read them both. Give us the name and the author of this one again.
The name is Savage Beauty by Nancy Milford, M-I-L-F-O-R-D.
Okay, and a book well worth reading. And we hope you've spent your time well with us today. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. We'll return next week for another interesting interview and some more books to talk about on Scribble.